Okay, welcome everybody to the August 9th use case realization call. Today, the NN network slicing team will be giving a talk on the NN network slicing use case and an overview, also developments in the Istanbul release 9 and question and answer session. Next meeting on August 23rd will be a continuation of the discussion for the A1 policy for Sun. So last time, I guess, Shankar, maybe you were in transition, so I didn't know how to get a hold of you, but we did have a discussion on Sun, and John Keeney was there, which was a really useful presentation. You might want to listen to this presentation, actually, or anybody interested in Sun should probably go listen to that. I think that would be good. I thought it was really interesting, just generally about the A1 policy and how it's used and how it's structured and stuff. So today we'll be giving a discussion on that. And then early in September, Sarah Van and others, I think, who are working on Sun will be giving us an overview of that use case. I was wondering, I have a conflict meeting actually at this time. Do you think it'd be okay if I move this meeting? I think to 1 hour earlier should be okay for me. It probably would be easier actually for people in India too. So,
Which meeting?
Okay.
The one on.
Let's see, Paul joined. Okay, so, and without further ado, Staravan, you will present. Okay, all right, let me stop sharing. Stop sharing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Can you give me the permission, Ben?
Sorry. Co-host. Okay. Now you should be able to. Hey, Timo.
Yeah. Are you able to see my screen?
Yeah, we can see. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Good day to everyone. Yeah, I will explain about the end-to-end network slicing use case, what we are doing currently in Istanbul release. So Swami, who was the lead for this use case, has left the organization. So I have taken over this lead role for this use case recently. And unfortunately, Agla, who is working on this use case, she is also not able to join. So I will quickly touch upon the overview and then current status and where we need the support, right? Those areas I will cover in today's presentation. So coming to this, right? This use case, we have started in previous ONAP releases, and we have achieved this option 1 and option 4, right, in previous releases. And we have successfully demonstrated this end-to-end slicing workflows in previous releases. And now, as part of the Istanbul release, we are focusing on this option 1, where we want to improve certain areas, certain interactions between these components. We have taken up in iRelease, and the subsequent slides talks about what are the changes we have planned and what are the status of those activities we will explain. So coming to, So this end-to-end network slicing, right? So here, as part of the previous release use cases, we we were using option one to choose the transport frontal middle slices. So here in Istanbul release, we plan to choose option two. Okay, so where the NSMF will decide which slice we have to use. So that changes based on option two, we are trying to include in Istanbul release. And then if you see the CPS component on the right side, so that's a new component replacing the SDNC config DB module, right? So we are trying to align rest of the modules to interact with the CPS. So those interfaces marked in red are also impacted in iRelease, which we are working on it. And then the yellow highlighted items are stretch codes, which we plan to take it up based on the effort. But right now I see a challenge in completing those stretch codes. The star, red star marked items, those modules are getting impacted based on this CPS introduction, and then the slice option two based approach, right? So those two, those four core components are getting affected, and we are working on those components changes. And apart from this end-to-end slicing, we also demonstrate the closed loop, which this use case also we demonstrate along with this end-to-end network slicing. In this as well, we took one change in iRelease. So right now, for the step eight, the O1 interface is being used. So we plan to change it to A1 interface, so which we are in discussion with Sandeep and Shankar team, right? So that discussion is still going on. And once we conclude, we will be able to implement and conclude on this. So here as well, the components which are getting affected are highlighted in this cyan color. So the CPS and the intelligent slicing, right? Based on the PM data, we will take some decisions in the slice analysis microservice. So that intelligence slicing, that also we plan to complete in this iRelease. Now coming to this slide, mainly list down question? The, yeah, yes, Shankar.
Should I ask questions now? Is it okay or?
Yeah, go ahead, Shankar.
Okay. On the, I have a very high level question on the previous slide because okay. We were discussing it. No, not that one, the O1 changing to A1.
Okay.
So I understand the A1 is very important and going from exercising the near real-time RIC and to demonstrating that is very useful. My first very high-level question is, do we envision that, maybe not in this release, but another release, that we will simultaneously exercise both O1 and A1 in step 8?
So the question is, should we have both O1 and A1 simultaneously present, and should be
correct. Now correct. And of course, if it's going straight to the near real-time RIC, then it is A1 by definition, because by definition in ORAN, A1 goes from non-real-time RIC to the near real-time RIC. But O1 goes to do to other netconf configs to CUDU and all that. So
Shankar, if I want to jump in here, I believe that, you know, we need O1 and A1 both, right? O1 mostly for configuration plus any various kind of events,
right?
And A1 yeah. For more for policy management. So we need both.
Correct. I agree. But my question was sort of more high level in the sense that first, at least to establish that if there is an intent that ONAP use cases as they evolve should show how O1 and A1 are being used. And use cases like the slicing use cases, I believe, to the extent that it is doing configuration directly of CUDU, it needs to use O1. If it's doing policy-based messages to the near real-time RIC, it just needs to use A1. And we started this discussion about making an assumption that both will, SDNR will need to do both. And so we have to worry about how it does both at the same time. So I'm just asking in general, if we should keep in mind that we need to do both, then it'll lead down a particular type of discussion and solutions. In this case, but it is showing as you're switching from O1 to A1. That means you're switching directly, instead of using netconfiang to a CUDU or even the near real-time RIC, you're specifically going to an A1 format, which is a policy-based message, and it cannot be a netconf config message. If you
okay, yeah,
good. Sorry. This is Xin Miao. Yeah, I have a question. So, O1 A1 between say ONAP and the near real time. It's run simulator, right? So, meaning this indicates will for closed loop we have two different scenarios. One is we push down the policy to let the near real time to handle the action. So that's A1. And then in closed loop, the decision making happened in ONAP, then we take O1 interface to configure CUD directly. So in that case, we support both.
That's correct.
Right? Is that right? So that's my understanding.
And I agree. Shin, that's also my understanding. I'm just at a high level clarifying if that is the consensus that we need to do both. There is according to ORAN, I mean, ORAN is the one specifying O1 and A1. They said there is a role for O1, there's a role for A1. I believe it's the job of ONAP use cases to show how we use O1 in its intended role, how we use A1 in its intended role. And some things they have, at least many things are left up to implementation, but some things that are clear is A1 goes to the near real-time RIC and it is a policy-based message. O1 is a netconf config message going, can go to CUDU. So, but then we have to take steps one by one. And so I was just, Saravanan, I was just asking about if you change O1 to A1, that means by definition, you have to have a near real-time RIC absorbing it, and the message should be a policy type message. It won't be a netconf config type of message.
And right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so basically, often there's two ways to configure stuff, and I see this in, because you know I work in ORAN. And I see sometimes that there's some confusion too sometimes here. So usually you want the configuration, probably in this case as well, to O1 should have a lot of the OEM type functions, and A1 is specifically for the non-real-time RIC to the near real-time RIC, because often you'll have some sort of policy that affects the whole network, and the non-real-time RIC kind of has a larger view of the network, and the near real-time RICs have a view of more of base stations. So you'll want to send down policy information from the non-real-time RIC down to the various near real-time RICs so that they can be guided in how they want to send information or guidance to GNOBs themselves. But the O1 is for more broad configuration type things. So in the working group one, which is where the network slicing group is, they've recently been looking at, for example, network slicing SLA assurance policy type parameters, and Arda Ackman from Juniper is leading that effort along with Birchu from Juniper. And I've been in meetings, a number of meetings with them as well. and on this topic. So they've recently specified, for example, the SLA network slicing assurance parameters from working group 2 handles the A1 policy down to working group 3, which is what does the near real time RIC. That's the working group that does the near real time RIC. So they've been specifying, for example, parameters on that link for that. But we still expect O1 to be involved with, you know, general configuration of the overall network, right? So that's kind of one big difference, I think, between those two things.
Yeah, Ben, my thinking is consistent with what you said, which is that is exactly what A1 would be used for. But the question still remains. I think all of us are saying A1 and O1 are both useful. So then the question becomes, what is the right thing for a use case like the slicing use case? And I'm also thinking about the SON use case. What is the right kind of thing for these use cases to show to flesh out the use of O1 and A1? And in some sense here, we are, in this case, if maybe there was a realization that what was being done in step 8 was O1 interface and it was a netconfiang config, and then maybe that same information, it's worthwhile to demonstrate how it really should go as an A1 message to a near real time RIC. And that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
Right. One more slides to specify these two scenarios. That'll be more clear.
Okay. Right.
Just some thought, yeah. Right?
True. And I don't want to stop the presentation here. Topic is not going to end today. Okay. Yeah, please go on.
So we should come up with a use case where both can be demonstrated, right? O1 and A1 interfaces can be demonstrated together, right?
Right, right. And then the audience like me will understand.
Right. And it makes sense. And for example, when we last discussed this on a call, when Ayla was there, he said maybe a throughput guidance is appropriate to go over an A1 message and the near real-time RIC can apply policies. But maybe if from SDNR, if you want to specifically configure a slice parameters in the CUDU, that could be a netconf config message, which will go over O1. And if people agree, those kinds of things make sense. But then there is work to show how they can both be done, and we can't do everything in one release, maybe. Yeah. So
I think one thing I would say to this slide is you probably also want, like you have O1 crossed out here, but I would have O1. There's still going to be actual O1 configuration stuff that might come out of, you know, monitoring PM data that is, you know, that the NSSMF might determine, right? In theory, I would think you may also want to change those those GMSA and G116 nest type parameters, configuration type parameters that aren't just to the near real time RIC, but maybe just general O1 configuration level type things that you might want to change related to network slicing behavior as a whole. And those would probably go over O1, I would think. So maybe you need a step nine or something that shows it going to, you know, not to the near real time RIC, but to like the DU and CU and stuff, I would think.
Something like that, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's driven by the output of slicing analysis.
Yeah, all depends on, exactly. The slicing analysis and MDAS, the management data analytics systems, in which I would assume would reside in, you know, in the management layer somewhere, if not an ONAP, then maybe kind of an emulator plugin type thing. But, you know, the TS, I think it's 28.8.11 that specifies the MDAS functionality has, you know, like 15 different use cases about roughly that takes input as, among other things, PM data and a lot of other things. And with consumer information, and then it basically can, some of the use cases can change the behavior or configuration of slices, you know, those GSMA and G116 nest type parameters. And that would not go over A1, I don't think, or some of them maybe, but that certainly is mostly going to go over O1, right?
Okay.
So this is Pavel. I have a question about the block policy. I would like to double check that this is the policy from the policy framework, right? It's not related to A1 policy.
This policy module you are talking?
That's yes, I'm asking.
Yeah, that's one of policy module, yes.
So it's from the ONAP policy framework model, right?
Yeah, yes, that's correct.
And do you use Clamp somewhere in this use case or just a policy?
No, we don't use a Clamp. We just use a policy framework.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Let me move to the next slides. So coming back to this network slicing, so this interfaces we have listed here, and the impacts to those interfaces also we have identified and marked. And with this identified activities, here is the current status of the use case. So where we need one module called as this interaction between CPS TBDMT module. So this interaction is enhanced, and it is this activity is completed, and rest of the activities with respect to the other modules interactions like NSSMF to NSSMF, and then this is the slice selection option. Instead of option one, we are trying to implement option two. So where this TN frontal and middle selection will be based on will be done by NSMF, right? Instead of NSSMF. So that option two implementation that is also going on in and it's in progress. And then with respect to CPS integration, we need Sandeep involvement here. So Sandeep has is working on this item. So we need a status and the plan from him. So this is a little bit critical. So Sandeep, you are in this call, right, Sandeep?
Yeah, I'm on this call. So okay. Yeah, welcome on that right now. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Sandeep. And then the other interactions, the RAN configuration enhancements towards RAN simulator, and then the replacing A1 with the O1 interface. So these also in progress. And so out of this, these two activities, right, NSSMF to NSSMF, and then this A1 replacement with O1. So this seems a little bit complex and takes some time. So these two activities alone may spill over to next release. So other than that, yeah.
Hello. Sandeep here. No, the A1 interface is replacing O1. I think we may not want to make that blanket statement, right? Wherever required, we can do that. As we just talked also previously on this call.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Correct. It's not complete A1 replacement. Only for our use case demonstration, yeah, we are talking about this replacement.
Yeah, just a wherever required.
Yeah, correct. Okay. And then there are the other stretch goals which we have taken up. So those also we are not able to start yet. So this also we are seeing a risk here. Apart from that, we have from the previous releases, some of the testing activities were pending, like end-to-end testing. So those also we have taken up, and we are working on those testing, end-to-end testing parallelly, and we are trying to complete. So almost like out of 11, 12 test cases, around 9 are completed. only a couple of test cases are still pending. So any questions in this slide? Otherwise, I will move to the some of the areas. As I said, there are these are the areas I need more support here. So basically, first one is we are trying to define the configuration parameters for the MMTC slice type. For other slices, we have parameters, but for MMTC, we are not able to get the configuration parameters. So if the community can support here in defining the MMTC slice, it will be good. And then this SDNR CPS integration, the activation and termination, these two interactions, we need to create the DGs in SDNR. So that those two also not yet started. So if anyone can contribute in this two DGs creation, that will be helpful. We are bringing this point in our weekly status call. So far, there is no one from community is ready to take up these two. So we are still checking with the community. And then on the slice activation, this integration testing. Many of the test cases we have completed. So a couple of test cases taken by High Street Technologies. So we see some slow progress there. So if they can speed up and complete this, it will be good. Because we definitely see a lot of issues when we are running the test cases. So if they complete and get the bugs identified and fixed, right? It will be good. And then this SDNR CPS integration, Sandeep is working on it. So if Sandeep, if you can come up with a plan and output, right? So it will be good for further integration testing. That's the status update I wanted to give in this. Any question here?
So this is Pavel. I have one comment. Actually, it's similar to what was mentioned previously. For me personally, the wording that A1 replaces O1 is confusing slightly, because the goal of O1 is different than the goal of A1. If you probably change something, then you are changing the use case, because you are not using O1 to configure some network elements, but you are providing an intent to the new real-time ring what should be reconfigure or what result of the run you expect. But it's not that you can replace the O1 interface and A1 interface, because the goals of those interfaces are different.
Understood. We will correct these slides. So basically, with respect to this closed loop scenario, we are talking here, but it's not like completely we are removing O1 with the A1. So we will update the slide.
Also, maybe you should make a slide for a description of the numbers. Maybe I think some that might be useful to have, just sort of a table of what the numbers mean. That might be good. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Also, I have a question. Is there a core simulator as well?
No, we have only RAN simulator, not the core simulator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because because a lot of network slicing management happens in the core as well, right? The AMF and UPF are involved in basically the allocation of and verification of they're involved in a lot of the enforcement of those SLA type policies. And there's also a new in 3GPP release 17, there's the new network slicing admission function that's being developed as well, right? To help with SLA assurance functionality.
Okay.
And I have one question about the step 8. So how do you want to react on A1 policy creation in near time? Like, do you want to simulate it somehow? Do you want to have own X apps? What will happen after the step 8?
Let me check with the team member here. Deepika, are you there? Or Niranjana?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Yes, Niranjana. Will you be able to answer this question, Niranjana? What we are doing with this step 8? With the A1 interface, what we plan to do?
Only the throughput configuration will be changing through A1.
So my question is, how do you want to do it in the simulator? Are you going to provide your own X app that will run in near real time rig, or do you want to do it in a different rig?
Yeah, I got your question actually. Yeah, I think that actually we haven't yet decided it. Like, we are working more on that interface part, but the actual what application that will be running on near RPL, right? That we haven't decided it. I think we also started a discussion, the folks for SON use case also.
Yes, exactly.
Sizing and SON. Yeah, we need to define what app that we can run in the near RPL side. To get whatever the policy that says from so I think we haven't decided it.
So Pavel, that was actually one of the big discussion points at the last time's call. So you probably want to join the August 23rd call, which is where they were discussing the A1 policy and the X apps and R apps and how, and John Keeney from Ericsson was describing how that might work and So Krishna, also, I don't think you were in that call, but you should probably attend the August 23rd call, the 5G call happening 2 weeks from now, we're continuing that discussion.
That the use case call or it's
5G? It's the use case call. It should be in your calendar. Everybody here should have it in their calendar, I would think. Although some of the newer people maybe not. I'll make sure that you're
It's not this call, right? Is it?
It's this call, but 2 weeks from now is this call happens every 2 weeks. So the next one of this call, which will be on August 23rd, is talking about that subject. You should have it in your calendar if you're not.
If I may, I would like to just speak to the role of the RAN simulator. So this is Shankar. A lot of this started way back with a lot of contributions from the Wipro team. And when Swami and I and Saravanan and all, we started with the SON use case and then the slicing use case. So one broad comment I would like to make is, I think the overall objective of the RAN simulator in use cases like this, these are ONAP use cases, right? So the overall objective of the RAN simulator was to be able to absorb the messages coming back, coming on step 8, and to send something something similar on step 1, which is an O1 WES message. So for example, if you get, if it was O1, if you get a message in step 8, which is configure the RAN slice property, and the simulator would absorb it, and then it'll send something back on step 1 saying, something has been configured. And the whole objective was to show what's happening in the ONAP box on top. And the blue box is only doing as much to enable the ONAP development work. And so all the details about, do you really have an X app? Are you really doing this, really doing that? It was not the scope of that RAN simulator. That has been the overall approach. Now, because this is an ONAP use case. If you take the same thing and you take an ORAN non-real-time RIC work and an ORAM ODU and OCU simulator, and there people will say exactly, who's doing the X app and what is the X app doing inside the near real-time RIC. So I'm just commenting the two approaches. So, and so if it was really a specific in step eight, if it was really saying, let's change the throughput, let's change the slice segment assignment in the DU, okay, it's a netconf config command. And then just to say why you could, someone would say, oh, I'm going to now do this over A1, they'll say, yes, okay, instead of actually changing a slice segment property, I'll say, okay, I'm going to give us a throughput guidance message to the near real-time rig. And it'll be whatever it needs to be. But the whole objective was to say, can we get ONAP to do the things it needs to? And then the RAN simulator will absorb, and it's a simulator, but it'll only simulate whatever is needed to enable the development work on top. And so just sharing that perspective, that simulator doesn't do everything. It really provides an accurate interface termination in step eight and step one.
Yeah, I got the point. My just because it's a closed loop, right? I closed loop because it's not only about creation a policy sending O1 events to DCA. It's about closed loop. So I was not sure what's the story under this closed loop.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Your question is very valid. There should be an articulation of what happens after step eight. And if there is an acknowledgement related to that comes on step one, that needs to be articulated. Yeah, your question is absolutely valid. Yeah, I'm just, thanks.
So Shankar, I think for the history, I think also maybe, you know, we're kind of identifying maybe some evolutions of the simulator that might need to be planned in for future releases or, you know, moving forward like a roadmap. I think ultimately, you know, ONAP has also a view of the core. So eventually maybe there's some core simulator be needed. There are also other use cases that have either also developed RAN simulators, and maybe we need to think about, I don't know, how they might interact or cross interact. And because early on, I think we in release 7 and 8, only did we have the A1 policy type use cases, and they're looking to obviously introduce functionality for XApps and RApps. And I don't know if maybe there, like, again, the next time's discussion will focus more on that. But maybe either this simulator needs to evolve or new simulators or something needs to be developed to emulate the other termination ends of the A1 policy.
Yes, Ben, that's a very valid point. And for example, there is ODU and OCU emulator work in ORAN. And so to the extent that it's good for the entire ecosystem and industry that, you know, everybody's resources are spread thin. And so if we can just find ways to leverage different pieces of work and just do whatever work is needed to align them in some way, and that would be good for everyone. Yeah.
I think, Shankar, yeah, there is an emulator which emulates the C1 functional features, which exposes the interfaces alone. Not any exact within it, but only exposes the interfaces for the A1 policy.
Right, yeah.
There is one in the ORI.
Ben, I have a question to you. You're asking the simulator for core. I think in order to demo the end-to-end slicing, right, in ONAP, and then the core simulator, isn't it there? It has to be there, right? To support it.
Well, I think if you go to slide, where maybe one of the earlier slides where you showed maybe like slide two, yeah, here. So yeah, you have this core, you see the core NF simulator and core NSSMF. Oh. There's probably some kind of, I mean, to show slicing, core that I had some kind of core stuff, right? So I think they have that there.
I see.
And
you mean slicing part, right? Okay.
Yeah. So I think just in that particular loop, they didn't show the core stuff. But if you're gonna do O1, like you probably need another slide, like slide 14 or 16, whichever the loop slide was. Was it 14 or 16? Yeah, this one here. So slide 16. So you probably want another slide showing, you know, here's the A1 loop, but there's also a kind of another slide showing the O1 loop, right? And the O1, have a loop for O1 configuration. But also O1 doesn't, like the O-RAN specifics focus is RAN, just RAN, right? It doesn't involve core. But in actuality, like it wouldn't be O1, but you know, there would be some kind of configuration probably from a management. ONAP has a broader scope than just O-RAN, which is just the E nodes, the E2 nodes, which is the OCU, UP, OCU, CP, and the ODU and ORU, and just the RAN for its scope. But the core stuff really also is heavily involved in slicing, and that's not O1 because it's not in ORAN. There's just some other management link basically that goes to managed stuff in the core, right? So I would expect to translate those GSMA and G116 NUS type things that execute those has to be sent down to that new simulator. And maybe you would show that on a slide like slide 16, but focused on the management aspects more, right? Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, Ben. Yeah, we will address this. Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
Yes. You know? Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, and do you have a view of kind of what's the next steps of what's happening maybe in release, in the Jakarta release, release J? Or are you looking at?
Yeah, not yet, Ben. I don't have much insight about the next release activities. So I'm just reviewing the current progress, right? So I will come up with what will be spilling over to next release, and then we will also start what can be taken up and can be done in next subsequent releases. So that in discussion also we will start, not yet started.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious for the CPS integration with the CPS team, how much have the CPS, have they gotten to available to you, or what's...
Krishna or Niranjana, can you answer that? Like the CPS integration, how much we are successful? And
yes, sir. Yeah. So mainly we are not directly, the use case is not directly interacting with the CPS. Like we have a layer in between called the TBDMT called component, right? As I think most of you all know. The features that we have planned, right, for this release, those features we have completed. The implementation is completed, so it's we are reviewing it along with the CPS. I think once it is completed, we should be directly able to integrate it. So that activity is still ongoing. So like for some of the interfaces, right, we have already finalized the interfaces, like whatever ConfigDB APIs we are using, we have started to work on the new CPS. Most of the activities are completed. So once the TBDMT implementation is completed, we should be able to completely integrate. Does that answer?
Yeah, that answers the question. Thanks. Yeah, I know the CPS is evolving, and they're, you know, developing more functionality available.
Yes, Ben. Yeah. Like we are also constantly like interacting with them. So recently, Based on this use case, we needed a couple of more features in CPS, and the team helped us with those new features in CPS. So we are constantly interacting.
And I have a very generic question. Maybe you know, it's not directly related to this scenario, but maybe you know if in the past someone tried to have a scenario with CSMF, which is within ONAP, and external third-party NSMF, or its plan in future.
So you are talking about this particular options, right? So where
So I'm talking about scenario that's not mentioned here. So we have a CSMF, which is on app base, like in scenario 1 and 4, and NSMF, which is external. A third-party component, like in scenario 5. So have anyone tried or mentioned about such a scenario in the past?
No, from our experience, we have not tried such a scenario, CSMF with the ONAP and NSMF with other third-party components. We have not tried it.
Okay. And it's not planned by anyone, right?
I have not seen any such integration from the industry so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
But there are some activities, some discussions are going on where below this NSMF or NSSMF, the controllers, right, SDN controllers level, there is a discussion to try with some third party controllers. So that level of discussion going on, not at between CSMF and NSMF, there is no such discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I know, and previously the when Swami made previous presentations like this in the use case realization call, he used this chart to basically show some of the progress in the various releases and what were things that were being worked on. Those recordings are actually also available. That might be useful for people to see as well. And I think one of the big things that were still to be developed was this third-party interface to third-party components, I think, that you show in the sort of medium blue, right? And those are probably, if I recall, were things that were still under development, or maybe they've made some progress in the past couple of releases. That you have your cursor on right now.
Got it.
But I think maybe many of those are still, or I don't know, what's the status of those now?
Okay. I need to check and come back, Ben. Let me do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have another quick question. So, maybe I'm wrong. So the CSMF and NSMF, and they're also, I mean, the functionality accomplished within SO component, right? And these two actually is accomplished through BPMN Flux. Is that right? There's no, I only see within SO NSSMF subcomponent or a container. But I didn't see NSMF. Is that right? I mean,
yeah. Deepika, can you answer this question?
Yeah, CSM of call to NSM of call is via the adapter.
So the NSSMF, is it a separate component or it is part of SO? That is the question, right?
So the NSSMF, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, different. Hi, Deepika. My question is like this CSMF, NSMF from this architecture, right, view. And then there, they looks like subcomponent within in ONAP. My question is actually the functionality of CSMF and NSMS are accomplished through the workflow itself. It's not really.
Yeah, it is right.
Okay. Yeah. The
NSSMF, you want to understand more, right?
Right. NSMF actually is a subcomponent, right? It is like it's a microservice.
Saranji, Sandeep, I think at least in the current use cases we have, which are on app kind of context, the NSSMF is basically our SDN controller, right? Like SDNR for RAN, for example. That's how like if you NSSMF maps directly to SDNR.
Okay.
So it's like a network slice subnet, right? So anything to do with managing that slice would be more SDNR responsibility. For the RAN network, then not sure about core and how that happens in transport.
Oh, okay. I see. So yeah, that's NSSMF MF is actually it's adapter.
Right. Yeah. Right now, we have it just as DMAP messages kind of trigger activities in the SDNR, right? To enable, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'm trying to because yeah. Thanks. You answered my question. Thank you, Deepika.
Okay.
I just have a quick question too. Are you looking at also the evolution of changes in release 17 of 3GPP, or are you just still focused on 16?
Okay, so you're talking about the standards, right?
Yeah.
we are not looking at on the 17th release yet.
Okay.
We are still focusing on 16 only. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's the like some of the SLA assurance structure is changing, and there's also there's some new work right now happening with maybe some of the lower level sort of details, but this the release 17 is in study and plan phase that should hit the first quarter of next year, I think. And I think one of the big things is the, like I said, the introduction of that new, that new component, the NSACF, the network slicing and mission control function, which is new to release 17 specified in TR23.700, I think will informally introduce some of the management of some of the network slice stuff into the core for SLA assurance type work, which there's a big discussion in ORAN about how to manage that for across the A1 policy, for example. Yeah, so.
Okay. Oh. So that can be considered for the next release activities, right? That's what
I think so. Okay. In the timeframe of ONAP, release 17 will happen probably in, I think, in the first quarter of next year. So some of the things that are happening is this slice-based reselection in the RAN2 work and the RATCH configuration in RAN2 and service continuity. So basically like service continuity, when you're trying to go to a neighbor site and the target slice does not support your slice right now, you just drop the slice, right? And so they're trying to there's ideas on the table of how to make the ability to, from an, when a UE moves from one target area to another, where the slices don't match exactly, you know, what happens to, in order to try to achieve slice continuity. Those are some things that are happening in release 17, but probably one of the biggest things, like I mentioned before, is this network slice admission control function under TR23.700 that's happening, which introduces this new component in the core to handle assurance type stuff. And that's gonna affect, well, you don't have it in this chart, but the 23.5, 23.700, I think it'll also affect 28.530, the general architecture document, which you do have. And I know there's evolutions in 28.541, for example, even right now, there's support to have multi-endpoint and the EP multi-endpoint functionality for the mid-haul that's being introduced probably for the September in release of 3GPP in the TS28.501, the 5G NRM. That's being worked right now, in fact. So there was in ORAN, there was a use case that was brought to working group one for support of multiple endpoints in the mid-haul with some tagging, so that basically you can have multiple slices that share a common or split mid-haul, and you would basically tag those packets so that you could manage in the mid-haul the slicing in a more efficient way.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are just some things to pay attention to, I think. And all of those are, you know, if you look in the sort of the latest contributions, either in 3GPP and the RAN groups, which have been meeting in the summer, I think there's more, other meetings happening now in August. You can see some of those also in ORAN in working group one. If you just look at the network slicing contributions, you'll see some of the latest discussions on those things that I mentioned.
Sure. Okay. We will look into it and come back with the next release activities.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, okay, I have another quick question. For the on this slide, the TMF 641, this interface is supported between UUI and SO directly, or it's through external API?
That's through external API, yeah.
Oh, okay. So UUI basically call external API interface and then to place the service order.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
Deepika, gotcha. The answer is correct, right? Hello, Deepika?
Hello?
Yeah. So this TMF 641 is exposed through external API module, right?
From CSM of UI to CSM of call?
Yeah.
Yeah, my question is from UUI through external API and then SO. It's not directly from UUI to XO, to SO, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Linus confirmed the service order is through the external API.
I can show the interface also. One second.
I see.
So TMF 641, the service or resource, right? 641. Okay. Yeah, that is through this external API module. It is supported. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I have actually one last short question. Does the use case cover any further development on TMF open API like TMF 628? Is something happening with that, or just started and died?
No, we are not in this use cases. We are not covering the northbound APIs part. Mm-hmm. So we are completely driving the backend flow only. Mm-hmm. So you are talking like. Will we be demonstrating this APIs through northbound, right? Is that the question?
So I wonder if those interfaces are covered somehow in other end-to-end network slicing use cases.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, of course, or nobody works on them.
No, not to my knowledge. I need to check and come back.
Okay.
Also, I would add to this table, you should also add the GSMA NG116 parameters, right? That's a standard I would expect that you come into alignment with as well.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
GSMA and what
GSMA
is the
GSMA NG116, the that's how the slice
okay.
template definitions are set. Yeah,
you mean GST?
The GSMA NG116 generic network slice template document, GSM association. So I can send you the document after the call. Actually, I'll just upload the document to today's notes so you can see them.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
That document will help us in getting the MMTs configurations parameters because we are looking for.
I can just show you the document now. If I could share.
Okay.
Show you what.
Sure. I will stop sharing.
Yeah. Let me see.
Thanks.
So this is the document. It's the GSMA, GSM Association, NG116 generic network slice template. And basically this document describes all of the key GSMA NEST, NEST type parameters for, maximum number of UEs allowed in the slice and maximum throughput and all sorts of stuff that, UE density max allowed and things like that. And for each of the parameters, it describes basically for your slice, I'm just going to pick a random one here if I can find it. So this slice supports this kind of parameter, it's allowed, and what kind of characteristics does the slice have? And there's a bunch of things that the service provider uses to create and set and determine the characteristics of a slice, which then eventually gets translated into slice profiles and things. There's this basically, let me see if they have the diagram here. So basically you have a customer that basically goes down to a network operator, and they configure these slices into these NEST parameters for, and this is what gets translated into those slice profiles, right? So, and these GSMA, GST NEST type parameters are what's defined in this document.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's something I think that you conform to, even though maybe you may not know it, but it's definitely something that if you're working in slicing, you should be aware of. Yeah. So.
Yeah, these attributes looks they're mapping to the NST definition. It looks like for this use case.
Yeah, of course. I mean, anything dealing with slicing is going to tie back to these parameters because this
That's
specifies
right, yeah.
your you know for example
yeah, yeah,
this
all
may
these
speci-
right.
this must be a service provider says. This is the maximum amount of aggregate throughput per UE that I can support in this slice, right? So or the this is the maximum downlink that I can allow in this slice. And then those get translated down to, for example, core, the in the core functions, that that's why that network slicing admission control function, or through the A1 policy, the non-real-time RIC and the near real-time RIC, use these parameters to guide, you know, for to provide guidance to the schedulers to in order to throttle the amount of throughput, for example, or that are available in order to meet these GST, NEST, GSMA, and G116 to parameters, right? So so this network slice template is used in order to create slices, basically, in order to define the characteristics of a slice,
right?
When a source router makes a slice.
Need to confirm. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we're over time. Any final thoughts or questions from anybody? Again, next meeting, we will meet 1 hour earlier. We'll be talking about the A1 policy for SAN, a continuation of our discussion, which we started on July 26th. Okay. All right. So maybe we'll call the meeting here. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And I hope you found it useful. And have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye.